Okay. Morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Hey, it's 145. It's a continuation of Schita. We've been now discussing Schita. I believe this is day three of Schita. Kuf Mem Gimel. It's where we started the 22nd parak of Shabbos, where the first line of the Mishnah was about the barrel that breaks and collecting the residual wine or olive oil that's coming out of the barrel, and you're only allowed to take three meals away. But then after that, then the Mishnah went on to discuss about the issue of schita. And the Mishnah taught us that if I'm buying fruit, it depends why I buy it. If I'm buying it to eat the fruit, so any juice that comes out on Shabbos is going to be mutter. If I buy it because I want to juice it, so then any juice that comes out is going to be usur. At least that's according to Rav Yehuda. The Tanna Kamma disagrees. And what we've been spending now discussing for the last 3 days, that would be now Shabbos, Sunday, and Monday. Okay, Shabbos Purim and Shushan Purim now, has been the issue of schitas peiros, when squeezing of the fruit. Now, what we've learned so far, and it will become clear today, is that basically there are three levels of fruit, if you will, in the world of schita. Schita, by the way, as we should start off the discussion, is an av malacha. It's a tolada. It's a subcategory of the malacha of dash. One of the 39 malachas on Shabbos is dash, to remove the kernel from the chaff. So too, when we take juice and we separate the juice from the fruit, so that also is going to be the form of schita. As the Gemara will be clear in today's daf on Kuf Mem Hey, which we're going to hopefully get to, is that when it comes to schita min haTorah, so how do you violate schita min haTorah? Not that you want to, but how would we go about it? So it would be by grapes and olives, zeisim va'anavim. Zeisim va'anavim, which are primarily used for its juice, grapes turn into wine, olives turn into olive oil. That's the final processing. So in other words, really the end goal of these fruit is to extract it for its juice. So therefore, if I squeeze the olive or grape, so that's an issa d'oraisa. Other fruits, however, which are squeezed, so maybe an issa d'rabbanan, and it may even be mutar lagamre. Well, which one is it? In other words, I can't just give you two choices. So so basically what we learned over the course of the Gemara yesterday is that there are basically three levels. Level number one is zeisim va'anavim. Okay. Which is going to be an issa d'oraisa. Okay, I heard a shiur recently about whether or not other fruits can upgrade to zeisim va'anavim, but okay. Anyway, so level number one is zeisim va'anavim. Then level number two is what the Gemara refers to as tusim v'rimonim, strawberries and pomegranates. Strawberries and pomegranates, which some people tend to squeeze for its juice. So there, if I squeeze those fruits, so that's not that'll be an issa d'rabbanan, and that will not be an issa d'oraisa. And finally, the shar peiros, fruit which are never generally squeezed. So as we learned yesterday, you're allowed to, and the Gemara said it very clearly yesterday, you could actually even squeeze those fruit on Shabbos because they're never squeezed. What would be an example of that? So the Gemara, at the very top of the Amud on Kuf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, gave some examples of fruits which I don't even know what they are. Pegayim, Prishim, Ozradin, right? Various fruits which are typically not squeezed, and so therefore if you squeeze them on Shabbos, you're not going to violate neither Nisda Doraisa nor Nisda Dorabanan. Okay. The only area of Machlokis, this is all just a review of yesterday's daf, the only area of Machlokis between the Tanna Kamma and Rav Yehuda, by Zeisim va'anavim, we're in full agreement. You're not allowed to squeeze those fruit, and furthermore, if any juice comes out of the fruit on its own, you didn't promote the squeezing. Just happens to have been very juicy, maybe one piled on top of another. Any juice comes out on its own, you cannot enjoy that juice on Shabbos. That's usur to enjoy the juice, even though you didn't do an act of schita. But mid the rabbanan, the rabbis were worried that if you start enjoying the juice, you're going to end up squeezing the fruit as well. That's how Rashi said it. So that is, everyone agrees to that. By shar peiros, by all other fruit, we're also in agreement that not only, A, can you enjoy the juice that comes out of it, but you can even squeeze it on Shabbos by shar peiros. The only point of machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Tanna Kamma is by tusim v'rimonim, by this middle category. You can't squeeze it, that's an issa d'rabbanan, but what if the juice comes out on its own? So the Tanna Kamma says it's always going to be asur, and Rav Yehuda says no. If I bought the fruit for eating, the juice that comes out is mutter. If I bought the juice for juicing, the juice that's going to come out is asur. So Rav Yehuda takes kind of a middle ground, a slightly more makel position regarding tusim v'rimonim. And the halacha follows on this regard like Rav Yehuda. But in other words, it's really a small area of machlokas. There's more consensus than disagreement. Okay, That was all a quick summary of yesterday's daf and what we've been discussing after the past number of days. And we're continuing in the Gemara. Now we're going to take a small detour in the Gemara over here because we got onto discussion of mikvah. So we're going to stay in mikvah for just a little bit longer, and then we're going to come back to the issues of schita. Tanan Hasam, we are now in the Gemara. We're on Kuf Mendal Amud Beis, and we're two-thirds of the way down. After the lines get wide, it's another six lines down from there, approximately 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. The first one in the line is Posol Semikvah, and we're quoting now a Mishnah in Mikvos. Now, you want to understand this Mishnah in Mikvos, so here's what you need to know. And Rashi sets this up for success. Nafal Sochel, we're going to be talking now about a liquid product that comes out of the olive. In the Mishnah, it's called Mochel, right? Mem Vav Ches Lamed. And if you take a look at Rashi, it's the first wide line on the page. So Rashi writes, Mochel Shamashke Yayin Ochometz O Mochel. Nafal Sochel Shamikva Yayin Ochometz O Mochel Vehu Kimin Mayim. Now, Mochel is a very clear liquid that comes out of the olive. Vizavmin Azasim. Vigimul Minim Yeshbo. Now, just this is all the background information that we need to know just to understand what's flying in the Gemara. There are three different types of mochel. Rashi continues to write. Kisha Tawani Mitchila Bimitan Lis Chameim Ulehizbashel Me Aleim Mochel Zav Mehen Vahut Salul Kamayim. So, first of all, I just throw all the olives into this big basket. So, basically, it can ferment, heat up, mature. And so while it is going through that process of maturation, so a liquid is going to come out, and it's a very clear liquid, it looks like water. Ula achashamdu, so that's what's called mochel number one. Okay, I'm going to number each mochel. Ula achashamdu yamim v'dachku zezer, chozer mochel azov mehem. Now, a second wave of mochel is going to come out. V'ukarov lios kishem, and this looks much more similar to oil. Ula achash, I'm sorry, and that will be mochel number two. Ula achash atzran, and then finally, we press the olives, the oil comes out. Lotzi shamnam bebeis abad, u'mishtaheh tapuach shel gefes be'akalim, and what we're left with is basically a pile of olive refuse, meaning it's been basically sapped of all of its oil. I mean, we did that. I mean, we squeezed it. Shua good behem bebeis abad, chozer mochel v'zav mehen. So one more time now, you have a liquid that comes out. It's a clearish liquid. And once again, that's called mochel. So we have mochel's numbers 1, 2, and 3. 2 before the pressing and 1 after the pressing. Okay? So now, with all that in mind, now let's go to this Mishnah Mikvos, Tanan Hasam. Nafal Asochel Yayin Ochometz U'mochel V'shine Mare Pasul. So, once again, with the discussion that we ended off yesterday's daf with, is that if I have either wine or oil or mochel that falls into the mikvah, changes and discolors the mikvah, so the Mishnah says the mikvah now is going to be pasul. So mantana de mochel mashkehu. Now, assumption going into this discussion is the following. The only thing that would disqualify a mikvah is only that something that has the status of a mashke. It has to be a status of a liquid. Meaning if it does not have the status of a mashke, it's basically tantamount to me throwing in grapes into the mikvah. Correct. Throwing grapes into the mikvah, that doesn't do anything to the mikvah. That's not going to change the status of the mikvah. So the only thing that could change the status of the mikvah is only something that has the status of mashke. So mantan de mochel mashkehu. So in order to engage in this Mishnah, you have to assume that mochel is a mashke. Amar Abai, Rabbi Yaakov. So Abai says, okay, I'll show you which Tana is. It is the Tana of Rabbi Yaakov. The Tana of Rabbi Yaakov, Omer mochel harayka mashke. Says it very clearly that mochel has the status of mashke. Umatam mochel hayotze b'tchila tahor. Now, the first mochel, remember, as we went through Rashi, there are three mochels that are coming out of the olive. So mochel b'tchila tahor lefishen erotze b'kiyumo. Well, there, because I'm not interested in that mochel. That's a very clear liquid that comes out that has no nutritional value. It has no taste value. It's just basically water exuding from the olive. We're not interested. It's holech le'ibud, so to say. So that has no status. Rabbi Shimon omer mochel einu kamashke. And Rabbi Shimon says that mochel is not like mashke. Umatam amr mochel ayotze mi'ikol abeis abad tamei. And why is it that mochel that comes out is going to be tamei? i.e. it has status. Because there's oil mixed in. There's oil intermingled. Now, the only difference over here is as follows, and this is how Rashi understands it. Look, here again, there's more agreement than disagreement. On that which comes out at the first mochel, meaning when I first put everything together in that basket, and a little bit of the juice comes out, but it's not really juice, it's kind of like a white clear liquid that comes out. We're all in agreement that holech li'ibud, it's going to get lost, and therefore that has absolutely no status. That does not have a mashka status. And furthermore, I go to the back end. After the pressing, the juice that comes out, we're all in agreement that that also will have status. Why? Because EF shards, impossible for that to have tzuchei shemen. Meaning because you already pressed the olive oil. So in other words, the olive oil, even though you probably pressed as much as you possibly could press, but there's little bit of olive oil trapped inside, so any of the liquid that exudes after the pressing is going to have trace amounts of olive oil, and so therefore that's going to be have status, and that's going to be a mashke. The only difference is in that middle mochel, the one right before the press. Is that have the status of mashke or not? That is the only point of disagreement between Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon. Yeah, so that's good. That will be the only difference.
Is it considered water,
though? Well, again, that's the first one is considered water, which
why won't that?
It's not. You're right. I take it back. Then I'm going to have to disagree with you. It's not water. It's nothing. Okay. It's nothing. It's in other words, it's what the Gemara elsewhere calls Zeya Ba'alma. It's just like the sweat of the juice, but it has no status. So anyway, so that all brings us now to an understanding of the Mishnah. Meaning, we opened up this morning's shiur with a Mishnah in Mikvahs, and the Mishnah says that if I have mochel that falls in, it's going to pass on the mikvah. So what we're now suggesting is, look, the first mochel, nothing. That has no status. We all agree. The third mochel, that does have status, and therefore it's basically shemen. The middle mochel, that's the subject of machlokes between Tanayim. Rav Yaakov says that has status of mashka, and therefore it'll pass on the mikvah. That all falls under category of approach number one of that Mishnah Mikvahs. Rava Amar, now Rava says, you don't have to give such a fancy approach. Rava says you can give a much simpler approach, one that we ended off to yesterday's daf with, which is, Mishum David Davashino Simi Menu Mikvah, Uposos a Mikvah Mishino Imara. Meaning again, this is how we conclude yesterday's daf. We can talk about whatever mochel you want. The first mochel, the second mochel, the third mochel. Let me ask you a simple question. If I made a mikvah of any of those mochels, okay? And so my mikvah now, talk about an exciting mikvah. My mikvah is essentially olive juice, not olive oil, but olive juice. And I went into the mikvah, and I told them the mikvah. So will that create a tahara? No, it's not water. In other words, the mikvah has to be mayim. So that's not water. So anything which is not mikvah worthy will disqualify the mikvah if it discolors the mikvah. Now, mind you, if there's a status quo of the color, there's no discoloration of the mikvah, and you already have 40 sa of water, so anything you add after that is going to be fine, meaning will not change the status of the mikvah. But if what we're adding to the mikvah is a liquid which is not mikvah worthy, i.e. it's not mayim, and it discolors the mikvah, it's not good. In other words, the mikvah will become pusle. And Rava says, and that's the simple pshat of the Mishnah Mikvahs. So you don't have to now start, well, that Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yaakov because we're talking about the middle mochel. It's much simpler, and it's an easier way to learn the Mishnah. Okay? That took us through a detour of Mikvahs, and now we resume, and we're going to be from here until the rest of today's daf today. Well, no, I don't think so. But in other words, until the Mishnah on the Amud Beis, we're going to be all Schita. The Gemara continues in the discussion. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Sochir Ad Meshkol Shalanav L'Tocha Kedera, Aval Lo L'Tocha Ka'ara. So here's a heter, which I feel everyone knows is heter, but the Gemara says it very clearly over here, and that is, you could take grapes and you could do the following: you could squeeze it onto Kedera, but not to Ka'ara. Now in Hebrew, Kedera Ka'ara, they're both basically the same thing, meaning one's a pot, one's a plate. But the assumption is that Kedera's got food in it, Ka'ara not so much, a plate. So the and what's going on over here in the Gemara? So take a look at Rashi, a really important Rashi, although the Gemara basically is going to say it. Latocha Kadera Rashi right, shall tafshla takno, the mucha chamilsa de lav lamashkabai. Meaning when I'm squeezing the grape and I want the juice now to go onto the food, I'm not interested in that juice that comes out as a juice, but rather I want that to be a food. So de lav lamashkabai lay, ela la ochel. The ain't a derech prikaso. Rashi writes, "This is not the way that we do. We're mefarek. This is not separation of liquid from the fruit. The havi kemafrid ochel me ochel. It's like separating food from food. Okay, conceptually, I know it's always very difficult to go over this halacha, but conceptually, basically, it looks like this. Look, I understand. I'm squeezing the fruit right now, and juice is coming out, but because I know." My purpose is that this juice becomes destination of another food, so therefore it's as if I'm separating food from food. The iser of mefarik, the iser of schita, is if I'm separating juice from fruit. But here I'm not separating juice from fruit, since it's going to go into another food, so therefore it is food from food. I.e., in other words, fish is served as a course, so what you can do on Shabbos is you can take a lemon and squeeze it right onto the fish. But you're squeezing. No, your squeezing is only an issue if you're being mefarik. Mefarik is only an issue if you're extracting liquid from fruit, liquid from food. But because this liquid is going to go onto the fish, so therefore it is considered being mafrid, ochel me ochel, just separating one food from another food. It's ki'ilu, it's as if, like, let's say you have one food, and I'm cutting the food in half. I'm just taking one food away from another food. That's obviously not a problem on Shabbos. Same thing when I'm squeezing. It's also not going to be an issue. So the and here's the Gemara that says it. Now Ka'ara, so I hesitate a little bit when I talked about the Ka'ara. Ka'ara doesn't have food on it. Not necessarily. Rashi writes, I'm going to read the next Rashi on the Amud, the Zimnan de la Mashka Kai. Sometimes it's for Mashka, for the purposes of Mashka. The Afagav de Bekara lo Shasi Inish. Now you don't normally drink off a plate. That's not normally what happens. However, lo mucha milsavika iser. But there's not necessarily food on the plate, and I'm squeezing onto the plate, so therefore, you cannot do it. So by the way, squeezing a lemon into tea, that's going to be an issue, because the tea is a liquid. So in other words, when the lemon goes into the liquid, so now it's the fruit. Not sorry, I'll say a little bit better. It's not an issue. It's also, in other words, you're not allowed to squeeze it. There are those who made the suggestion, the smart suggestion, of maybe we'll squeeze a lemon onto sugar, and then we'll add the sugar to the tea. Debatable if that works or if that doesn't work, and again, you know, you'll speak to your local rabbi and he'll tell you what to do. But in other words, but you got the basic concepts down. Amar Chista Medivra Abedu Nilman. So Rav Chista says, based on this, we can go over now another halacha, which is Cholev Adam Eiz L'Tocha Kedera. Let's say you're eating a dish on Shabbos and you could use a little bit of milk. Now, what are you doing eating dairy on Shabbos? Okay, I can't help you with. Yeah, but in other words, but. Okay, very good. But what you can do now is you can go to your backyard, go to your goat, and you can now milk the goat right into the food. Mm. Now, it's got to be food, by the way. You can't do it into your coffee, because that's now going, liquid. That's liquid, that's going into liquid. That's mefarik. But you can do it directly into the food of Allah Latocha Kara, but not into the Ka'ara. The milk is not pasteurized, it's not, okay. So once again, highlighting the same exact point, it's mashka balatoch ochel, and that's totally acceptable on Shabbos. Mezav Rami Bar Chama. So now the Gemara is going to ask a number of questions. Essentially, now what we have learned is that when I am extracting liquid, but the liquid's going into food, that's not liquid. That's not liquid. So now, based on this, the Gemara is going to ask a number of questions. Number one. Okay, we're all over the place today. We learned the Mishnah in Mikvos. We're now about to learn together a Mishnah in Taharas. And the Mishnah teaches us, Mesiv Rami Bar Chama, Zav Shecholev Esa Eiz, Hachalav Tamei. Let's say the farmer in question over here is a Zav. Now we know the halacha is regarding a Zav, and that is, he's an Avatuma. Anything he comes into contact with or sits on is going to become Tamei. So here, he's milking the goat. The milk that comes out is going to be tame. Now, So the Gemara now wants to know, I have a simple question. And that's the following. The milk can only become tame only under one condition, and that is it's mukhshar lekapha tuma. Like we talked about yesterday, any food, or the liquid for that matter, in order for it to become tame, it has to become mukhshar. Well, mukhshar lekapha tuma means it has to come into contact with the liquid. But here, if we are milking the goat, and assuming we're milking the goat into food, so that comes out is not liquid. That which comes out is a solid. So now I know it's a strange sentence, but if you're following carefully, you'll understand. That's not liquid milk that's coming out of the goat. That's a food milk that's coming out of the goat. I know, it's a strange sentence, but halachically speaking, it's not a liquid. And so therefore, where did it become mukhshar lekabel tuma? So the Gemara's answer is Kedam Rav Yochanan b'tipa muluch leches al pi hadad, ha'achanami b'tipa muluch leches al pi hadad. So the Gemara in Krisus has a related discussion, and basically over there is a little bit of milk right on the tip of the dad of the goat. There's a little bit of milk over there. In fact, the way Rashi sets it up, you actually extracted milk for that purpose. It helps further express the milk inside of the udder of the goat. And so therefore, every milk that's coming out is going to be passing over the thin layer of milk that I originally extracted. And so therefore, you're right. The milk that comes out subsequent to that first layer, that's all food milk. That's not liquid milk. You're right. But all that's passing through that first layer of milk, and so therefore, all you need is contact. Hechsher only requires contact, and that's how all the milk becomes mukhshar lekapha tuma. Okay, good. That's a Mishnah in Taharos. Another Mishnah in Taharos. Amezev Ravina. Tameh Meshah Sachat Zeisim Vavanavim. Let's say I have a person who's a Tameh Mes. Okay, simple form of tuma. You can take a look at the top Rashi and next Amud. Rashi goes on to explain why we're looking specifically at a Tameh Mes. Please see Rashi inside. I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now. Anyway, for our purposes right now, all you need to know is he's an Avatuma. And what does he do? He squeezes an olive or he squeezes a grape. Now here it's an interesting case. Kebetza Michuvenis. We're now on the very top of Kuf Memeham and olive. And when he squeezes, the volume of grape or olive is exactly a beitza. The volume of a beitza. Meaning, right, not an egg, meaning, but the volume of an egg. And what do we know when it comes to transmission of tumah when it comes to food? So, in order for food to transmit tumah from one to another, you need a shear, and that minimum shear is? A kebeitza. Okay. So now, follow. This is, you're right. Just wait 1 second. You're so right. So now, follow. The person who's squeezing, so in other words, he's holding a grape in his hand. Okay. Now, by him holding the grape in his hand, the grape obviously is tame, because the grape is the size of a kebeitza. In fact, that's exactly what it is. But when he squeezes it out, so it will now, here's the following dilemma. That the moment that he squeezes out that first drop, so now what he's holding in his hand is less than the shear of a kebeitza, obviously. Meaning that once you extract any amount of volume, so the original fruit now is a whatever it is, less than the shear of a kebeitza. And so now, obviously, the grape that he was holding in his hand is tamei, but the liquid that comes out is not going to become tamei. So kebeitza mechuvenes tahor. Hayoser mechabeitza tamei. That means, of course, that if it's larger than the kebeitza, it's going to be tamei. Now, iamar mashka bala ochel ochel hu. Now, once again, assuming that he's squeezing it onto food. I mean, that's an assumption. But assuming that he's squeezing it onto food, so the liquid that comes out now is not mashke, but the liquid that comes out now is ochel. So, I have a simple question. Bamai it kasher. Once again, where's the hechsher? In other words, when does it come into contact with a liquid? And you want to argue, what do you mean, when does it come into contact with a liquid? It is a liquid. Halachically, it's not a liquid. Because any liquid that's going to go into food is considered food. So obviously that... that Mishnah bothers him, and so he makes the following suggestion. Just give me a moment. Okay, so the whole question was built on an assumption that he was squeezing the grape onto food. And so then your question is a very valid question. However, what we'll suggest over here is he didn't squeeze it onto food, he squeezed it onto a plate, i.e. there's no food on the plate, so therefore it's a liquid. So how did it become, where's the hechsher? It's a liquid.
Well, that's the thing, the whole thing is destination dependent. Right?
Right, correct. So the assumption going into the question is that...
Aaron is what's coming out.
Absolutely correct. And the assumption going into the question is that its destination was the food. The answer of the Gemara is no, the destination was a plate. Okay, Amar Rav Yirmiya Ketanai. And so now what the Gemara is going to suggest now is the following. So look, we've now spent the last 20 lines of Gemara, a little bit less, but we spent the last bit of Gemara now basically saying very clearly that if I'm squeezing a fruit on Shabbos, or even during the week, because it also not only has halachic ramifications for Shabbos, it also has halachic ramifications for Tumah Tahara. But when I'm squeezing a fruit and the juice that comes out is destined to go into another food, that juice is considered food. It's not considered a mashka, it's considered a food. So you're not violating the Isser of Shechita, and in the world of Tumah Tahara, there's no hechsher. Good. Now what the Gemara is going to suggest is, and this is Rav Yirmiya's suggestion, that really this is a machlokus between the Tanayim. Lema, I'm sorry, Amar Rav Yirmiya Kitanai. Hamachlik banavim lo hochsher Rabbi Yehuda Amar hochsher. Okay, those of us who make challah, I'm not in that camp, but I'm married to somebody who makes challah. So for those of us who make challah, so you know that the final part of the challah baking is the egging of the top. There's a fancier term for it. Okay, but I don't have it offhand. Shmearing. Thank you. The scientific term. So hamachlik banavim. So here, I don't know how this works. So right, usually we do it with eggs, but here instead of using eggs, they used grape juice. So, but here I mean grape juice. I mean literally the juice of a grape. So they held a grape over the top of the challah. They squeezed and they shined the top using the juice of the grape. So, is that juice that comes now and basically it's going right onto your bread? Is it liquid or is it food? So this Mishnah tells us it's a machlokus. Hamachlik banavim lo hukshar, Rav Yehuda Omar, Omer hukshar. So machlokus, whether or not it's hechsher, there's no hechsher. Okay? And essentially what the debate is it considered liquid or food? So, my lava, what is going on over here? What's the machlokus? Mar savra mashka bala ochel ochel, or mar savra lava ochel hu? So the Gemara makes what seems to be a very reasonable proposal, which is that they're flipping on whether or not liquid that's going to go into a food has a status of liquid, which means it would be mukhshar, or whether it has a status of food, which means that it's not mukhshar. Amrav Papa, so Rav Papa says, no, not here. This is not what's going on over here. Dekule alma, everybody holds. Now, in our Gemara, the girsa we have in our Gemara is mashka bala ochel lav ochel hu. That liquid that goes onto a food is not a food. Now, the Gon changes the girsa of the Gemara, and I understand why he does that. Because what we would rather like to, what the Gon rather like to do is basically, look, we've been spending the last 20 lines of Gemara saying mashka bala ochel is ki ochel. So, in other words, if we're going to assume there's agreement, why not assume that everyone agrees? Mashka bala ochel is ke'ochel. So he changes the gears of the Gemara, but either way. Over here, what's going on is what happens when I'm squeezing and the juice is going to go le'ibud. I'm going to lose the juice, meaning I'm not really interested in the juice. Is that have status of mashka? Marzava mashka hu, marzava lav mashka hu. Now, it's interesting, by the way, because how can you argue in this case it's holech le'ibud? Meaning, what we're interested in doing is putting a glaze, a shine, on the challah, right? On the bread that we're making. So the Gemara right now is arguing it's holech le'ibud. It's hard. It's really hard to hear that and hard to understand how this is a case of holech le'ibud where we're just, it's going to waste. It's not going to waste. There's a purpose for it. So I will tell you that about 10 lines from now, the Gemara is going to end up rejecting this suggestion, and the Gemara is going to give a different suggestion in terms of what the machlokus is in this Mishnah. But for our purposes right now, at this stage of the Gemara, it is difficult to understand how the Gemara is suggesting over here it's holech le'ibud. In the meantime, however, over plukta dahani tanai detanya, the Gemara says, I'll show you another example of this of this machlokus of holech le'ibud, the Tanya. The Gemara quotes the following brayso: mefatzeh b'zeisim, you're bruising olives. Biyadayim misua bos, and you're bruising the olives with dirty hands. Dirty over here does not mean physically dirty. Dirty means spiritually dirty. Your hands are tameh. So in other words, you're bruising the olives with hands which are tameh. Now you're bruising, why are you hurting the olives? What's the what do you have against the olives? And so Rashi says you're testing it out. You want to know if they're ready for press. So or you're simply softening the olives. Either way. And the point being, however, is that there is going to be liquid coming out, but that liquid is all going to go onto the floor. I'm not interested in the liquid. I'm sorry. Sorry. I misspoke. The reason why he's bruising, like Rashi says, is because he wants to soften the olives. Okay, good. So, so in such a scenario, that which comes out is considered a liquid, and so therefore it's hochsha. L'sofasan bemelach, to dip it in salt, lo hochsha, because there the liquid is going to go to waste. Leida imigia zeisam lamasokim lav, lo hochsha. If I'm testing it out to see whether or not we could press it, so it's not mochsher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer hochsher, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. So my law behakem iflagi. So now here we go. The machlokus over here is exactly what we suggested earlier. Mar sever mashkehu and liibud mashkehu, umar sever la mashkehu. Exactly what we discussed earlier, which is that if the liquid that coming out is going to go to waste, so is that considered a mashke? Is that not considered a mashke? That is exactly the nekuda machlokus between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda. And what the Gemara now is trying to do is, now let's go back to our glazing. Our glazing that we made over the dough, so whether or not that's mukshar or not mukshar, is going to be based on the same machlokas. Amar Rav Huna bar Yehuda of Yeshua, Hani Tanai b'mashka omei le'ibud pligi. Look, on this most recent brisa, where I'm bruising the olives in order to extract some juice to see whether or not we're ready to press or we're not ready to press, and that liquid's going to go on the floor and basically go to waste. You're right. That's certainly right. That's certainly the correct way to explain the machlokus, whether or not it is mashka holech li'i, but it's considered mashka, not considered mashka. You're absolutely right. However, hanach tanai, but go back to our glazing, you're wrong. It is not a question of whether it's holech liibud or not. Here, the issue over there is the following issue. That yes, there is a liquid that's being extracted. And yes, it's going into the food, but it's not going into the food. It's serving as a glazing over the outer layer of the food. If it were going to go into the food, we can all agree. That's a mashka habala ochel ka'ochel. That's like food. But over here, however, if it's going only over the superficial layer area of the food, it's letzachsecho. That's debatable whether or not that has the status of food or the status of liquid. And that's the nekuda machlokis of the first Mishnah that we quoted regarding hamachlik ba'anavim. Okay. Once again, the halacha is being recorded that if I take a grape and I squeeze it onto food on Shabbos, that would be mutter, because that's not schita, because the liquid that comes out is not mashke, it's ochel me ochel. So far so good. We've seen that already. V'dag letziro afilu lesocha ka'ara. Now, a fish. I want to squeeze out the fish. Why? The fish is too right. It's too saturated with liquid, and I want to squeeze out some of the brine of the fish. So, according to Rav, you may do so, and even if you're not squeezing it onto food, and even if you're only squeezing it onto a plate, that would be fine. So the Gemara says that's the halacha told over to us by Rav. Now, Yosef Rav Dimi v'kamal alash ma'itam alei abayla Rav Dimi also mishmed the Rav ma'asisim v'lo kashaluchu. So you did a good job, says Abaye, because you taught over this halacha and you taught it over in the name of Rav, and you're fine. Ana mishmed the Shmuel ma'asisim, but when we taught over the halacha, we gave attribution to Shmuel v'kashalan. And then it became difficult for us. Why? Because mi amar shmol dag letzirafa l'tocha karaved mar. The Gemara says, but we happen to know that they're of the following machlokas. Kvashim shesachtan. Let's say I have a pickled fruit, a pickled vegetable, anything pickled, whatever it is. And I take it out. In other words, let's talk about pickles. Pickles easy because that's a great example. We happen to pickle our pickles, or the cucumbers, really. Anyway, I take it out of the jar, and it's too juicy. And so now, I want to squeeze it on Shabbos. Not because I really want to extract the juice out of it. It's just simply too juicy. So, Tfashim Shesachtam, Amar Rav Lagufa Motel Amemeyam Pater, Aval Aser. So, Rav says that if I'm squeezing it out Lagufa, what does that mean? Like what I just said. Meaning I'm squeezing it out because it's too juicy and I want it to be less juicy. So there I'm squeezing it out. That's not only not an Issa Daraisa, it's not an Issa Darabanan. That's totally legitimate. One's allowed to do that on Shabbos. However, if I'm squeezing it out because I want the juice, meaning for whatever reason I kind of like that juice that comes out of the pickle, so then, Pater Avalaster, it's an Issa Darabanan. Now, it's not an Issa Daraisa. Why isn't it an Issa Daraisa? It's very simple. Because that's not natural juice formed inside the pickle. Meaning that juice came in because we pickled the cucumber. So in other words, we inserted the juice inside. The Isser of Schita is only taking the natural juices of an entity and extracting the natural juices. These are not natural juices. These are juices that we put inside. So therefore, it's not an Isser Daraisa, but it is, according to Rav, an Isser Darabanan. Shlakos, now cooked foods, bela gufan, bela memeya mutter. Now Rav says that when it comes to cooked food, so in other words, you take that vegetable out of the chicken soup, okay? And obviously it's juicy. And so according to Rav, I can squeeze it. And Rav's of the opinion, it doesn't matter why I'm squeezing it. Either I want a less juicy vegetable, or I want that soup that was contained inside the vegetable. According to Rav, you could squeeze it under all circumstances. Ushmul amar, echad kvashim ve'echad shlakos, l'gufa motel l'meimei and pater. Now, Shmuel's of the opinion that whether it's pickled or whether it's cooked, I don't care. In other words, if you have liquid inside of a fruit or a vegetable, and I'm squeezing it out, and even though it's not a natural juice of the liquid, even though it came in externally, it doesn't matter. If it's l'gufan, so then it's mutter. Gufan means, again, where I'm squeezing it because I want the food I'm about to eat to be less juicy. But if it's limay mehan, but if I'm extracting the juice because I want that juice, so then pato aval aser. So now, here's the problem. Yes, yeah, so how do you squeeze the fish? So you see, if the halacha of the fish comes to us via Rav, we're fine. Because we learned that according to Rav, when I'm squeezing a juice that wasn't the natural juice of the item, so then that would be okay on Shabbos. However, you're attributing the halacha to Shmuel, Shmuel's of the opinion that you're not allowed to extract a liquid from the item unless I'm doing it legufan, unless I'm doing it for the item itself. But if I'm doing it lemeimeim, it would be rabbinically forbidden to do so. So, if you're giving this halacha, if you're attributing it to Shmuel, so then we have a stira between Shmuel and Shmuel. Amr le, so he says to him, Elokim, Einei Ro, Velo Zar, quotes the pasuk from Iyuv, basically saying, look, let's get this straight. Right? Literally, the pasuk translates, your eye saw and it wasn't a stranger, meaning I know this to be so. Which is what? Mi pumad Rav Yirmiyah Shmi'ali, Rav Yirmiyah mi Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Zera mi Rav Chia bar Ashi, Rav Chia bar Ashi mi Rav. Look, I'm telling you, your attribution is wrong. You heard the halacha in the name of Shmuel. It didn't come in the name of Shmuel. It came from the mouth of Rav, which means then we're good. Because now we have no contradiction between Rav and Rav. Rav holds that I can extract a liquid from a food if that was not a natural liquid of the food. Right, and it does not matter whether it's shlakos, whether it's kvashim, you can extract the liquid, and the same thing is true regarding the brine as well. Yeah.
Oily lakis.
Right, so same thing, meaning that, right, it's not a natural, It's not a natural liquid. In other words, we inserted the oil into the lakis. So you want to squeeze it on Shabbos, ligufan, it would be mutter. Gufa, the Gemara comes back to our discussion. Kvasha shesachta namarav ligufa mutter memeim potter velaster. Ushlakos beilagufa beilamemeim mutter. So according to Rav, once again, now Rav makes an interesting distinction. This is going back to what we just learned, but the Gemara now is going to discuss a little bit further. According to Rav, if it is pickled, so Rav says that I can squeeze pickled anything, pickled cucumbers, whatever, anything which is pickled, so I could squeeze it. If it's legufan, so then it would be mutter. Again, I want it to be less juicy. If it's lememehen, pater veloster, so then it's going to be rabbinically forbidden. Shlakos, cooked, so then may legufan, may lememehen mutter. So according to Rav, cooked is legufan mutter, lememehen also mutter. That's the opinion of Rav. Shmuel Amar, Echa Zev Echa Zev Legufa Motel Memeim Potter, Aval Asr. Now Shmuel takes a more streamlined approach, which is, if I'm extracting a liquid which was not naturally occurring inside, and it does not matter how the liquid got there, whether I pickled it or whether I cooked it, if it's Legufan, it would be Motter. If it's Lememeim Potter, Aval Asr, it's rabbinically forbidden to do so. Okay, so by the way, you do need to somehow explain, Rav, what's the difference between pickling versus cooking? Why, according to Rav, when I pickle it, I can only squeeze it out legufan, but if I cook it, I could squeeze out legufan lememehem. Somehow cooking is
part of the food, maybe.
Other way around. Pickling is right.
No, with cooking, you made the juice part of the food, and you're eating the food itself.
Right, but the other way around. Kvashim, meaning pickling, it becomes more part of the food, whereas cooking, it's not an integral part of the food, something along those lines. Anyway, how about this? The halacha is like Shmuel, so the halacha becomes much easier because really it's only one question. Am I squeezing? Well, actually it's two questions. Is it a natural part of the fruit? If it is, you can't squeeze it. And if it's not natural, if it came in externally, right, like the oily latkes, like the vegetable that I take out of the soup. So I'm squeezing it out because I want it to be less juicy, legufan, mutter. If I'm squeezing it out because I actually want to extract the juice inside, pater aval aser, it's aser midrabbanan to do so. Echazev echazel legufan mutter, lememeim pater aval aser. And Rav Yochanan amar, echaz kivashim echaz shlakos legufan mutter, lememeim chayav chatas. So now, there's actually a third opinion, which is that of Rav Yochanan. Now, in practice, there's no difference between Rav Yochanan and Shmuel. Okay? Because in practice, what comes out is the following. If I'm squeezing because I want it to be a less juicy product, it's fine. However, if I'm squeezing because I want to extract the juice inside, and it's not a natural occurring juice, it's one that came in because I either cooked it or pickled it, so according to Shmuel, it's Asur Midrabbanan. According to Rav Yochanan, it's an Isser de Araisa. Okay. Now, by the way, that's unbelievable where we're now, based on what my purpose is, if I want it to be less juicy, not only is it okay, it's Mutter Legamre. If I want to extract the juice out of it, according to Rav Yochanan, it's an Isser de Araisa. That's an unbelievable swing to go from something which is totally Mutter, and all I'm doing now is changing my intent, and now it goes to an Isser de Araisa. Okay, that's a wide swing, but that's Rav Yochanan's position. So Rav Yochanan, I'm sorry, Shmuel Kaz, Chayev Chaz, sorry, what just happened? I lost my spot. Yeah, I'm sorry. So Rav Yochanan Amar Alam Kvash Mechashak Lugufa Mutla Memeim Chayev Chatas. Good. Meisvei. And now we quote a Braisa. Sochtin Kvashim B'Shabbos Letzorach HaShabbos Avolololol Motzei Shabbos V'zeithim V'anavim Lo Yitzchavim Sachat Chayev Chatas. Okay? We have a Braisa. And the price is difficult for everybody. Kashla Rav, Kashla Shmuel, Kashla Rav Yochanan. Rav Mitar Satami, Shmuel Mitar Satami, Rav Yochanan Mitar Satami. And so now, with three Amorayim, and the price is difficult for everybody, not a problem. Each one of the Amorayim is going to explain the Braisa Aliba according to their Shita. Rav Mitar Satami, Sochtin Kvash Meshabbos, Sorcha Shabbos, Aval Lamotza Shabbos, Ba'med Var Mamorim Legufan, Avalim Meimeim Pata Avalasar. When it talks about pickled foods, so pickled foods you can squeeze on Shabbos for Shabbos, but only if I want the food to be less juicy. However, if I'm squeezing it because I want the juice inside, it's Pata Avalasar. Shlakos, But now let's not talk about pickled foods. Let's talk about cooked foods. So regardless of why I squeeze it, it's going to be mutter. Even if I'm squeezing it to extract the juice inside, it's going to be mutter. When it comes to grapes and olives, there you're not allowed to squeeze. And if I squeeze the grapes and olives, you're going to be chayv karban chatos, because as we discussed in the beginning of today's daf, squeezing grapes and olives is an issur d'oraisa. So in other words, that's Shmuel's understanding of the Braisa, granted, That was Rav's understanding of the Braisa, granted according to his understanding. I inserted a line to the Braisa, but that's his understanding. Shmuel matar satame sochtin kvashim b'shabas asorach ha-shabas v'hu adilash lakos. Now according to Shmuel, his understanding of the Braisa is that whatever the Braisa said about kvashim, pickled food, same thing is true regarding shlakos, which is that I could squeeze it out only legufan. But if it's lemeimeim, it's aser, and it's aser mitzvah rabbanan. V'amet v'amar mor legufan aval lemeimeim patur aval aser. V'zeisim v'anavim lo yischal v'im sachar chayev chatas. And if I squeeze all of the grapes, it would be an aser d'oraisa. And Rav Yochanan mitar satami. And finally, we get to the sheet of Rav Yochanan, which is sochten kvashel mitzvah chashabes aval lo lemotzei shabes. I could squeeze cooked foods on Shabbos, not for after Shabbos, but for Shabbos. Echad kvashim ve'echad shlakos, and that's true regarding pickled foods or cooked foods. But I can only squeeze it if I want the food to be less juicy. But if I'm squeezing to get the juice out of there, lo yischot ve'im sachat, it's as if I squeezed out olives and grapes, and therefore you're going to be chayv a karban chatas. Okay. When all said and done, by the way, the halacha, Hedy, this one's going to be easy today. The halacha is going to be very clear. Is that if it's a natural juice inside of the fruit, so you cannot squeeze it on Shabbos, what's the level of liability? So it depends. If it's grapes and olives, it's an issur d'oraisa. If it's pomegranates and strawberries, it's going to be an issur d'rabbanan if I squeezed it out. If it's sharp pears, which I cannot give you an example of what that is, because I don't know, but if it's sharp pears, but if it's other fruits where people don't tend to squeeze it, so then you'll have to squeeze it on Shabbos. What if it's not a natural fruit of the item? So let's say it's pickles that are right now, it's too juicy, so I squeeze it out. Or let's say it's the cooked vegetable where I want to eat the vegetable, but it's too juicy, so I want to squeeze it out. So ligufan, if I'm squeezing it out because I want it to be less juicy, or the latke, that's a great example. The latke I took, but it's too juicy, and I want to squeeze it out. So if I'm my purpose of squeezing it out so that be less juicy, so then that would be mutter. If I'm squeezing it out because I want the liquid, so on this last point over here, we know it's aser. Rav says it's mutter on cooked foods, but the halacha is not like Rav. Even though generally speaking, by the way, Rav and Shmuel, the halacha is like Shmuel. Sorry. Thank you. Rav and Shmuel, the halacha is like Rav, even though that's normally true. But here, the monkey wrench in this whole discussion is that Rav Yochanan agrees to Shmuel. So we know that lemeimeim, it's going to be aser, and the only thing left that you can quibble about is in terms of how aser is it. Is it an iser d'rabbanan or is it an iser d'oraisa? Now, for most intents and purposes, what's the difference? Meaning aser is aser. But it does make differences in terms of ma'aser Shabbos, but that's for a different discussion on a different time. I'm Rav Chiya bar Ashi, I'm Rav Davar Torenu Chayv El Al Drisas Eitzim Anavim Bovad. You're only going to be aser min haTorah when you squeeze olives and grapes. Unrelated, but we're going to finish up to the Mishnah, so I'm going to go through this quickly. And that is that hearsay, right? A witness telling a witness, telling another witness, to where it gets back to me. So, in generally speaking, in the world of testimony and halacha, does not work. Under one circumstance, it does work, and that's Eidus Isha. Which means that the wife doesn't know where the husband is. He was supposed to come back. He didn't come back. His whereabouts are unknown. Is he alive or is he dead? The woman is an aguna. She cannot marry until she knows what happened to the husband. So here, when we get to the end of Yevamos, you're going to hear a lot of this. A couple parakim at the end of Yevamos discusses this very serious topic. So what's the halacha? The halacha is hearsay works. Even if you do not have direct testimony of the person who saw the husband die, but he heard from somebody who saw the husband die, here hearsay will work by Eidus Eishav Avad. What about another area of halacha? would edus of such a nature work? And specifically, the edus of a bechor. Once you give a bechor to a kohen, so the kohen cannot eat the bechor until it becomes blemished. What about him? What about the animal becoming blemished and him saying, "Look, it happened naturally. It happened organically. I didn't put a blemish on the animal." The halacha is that it's no good. We don't trust, no offense to the Kohanim, we don't trust the Kohanim because they are so tempted to put a blemish on the animal. So the only way they're allowed to eat the animal is only if they can give objective testimony that the mum, the blemish happened organically and he did not place the mum on. So, but over here, however, the only reason why we require edus is because of a suspicion of Kohanim. Maybe hearsay works. So Rav Asi, Sharitz, Machlokas, Amarayim, Amalei, Rav Ami, Rav Asi, Vatan, Debe, Menashe, Ened, Mipied, Kasher, Ella, Le'edus, Isha, Bovad. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. We have a very clear statement that hearsay only works by the Aguna issue. Eimel Le'edus, Sheha, Isha, Ksher, Ella, Bovad. Well, no, maybe the statement meant like this. That when does it work? It works when a woman can testify, so then hearsay works as well. In the world of Aguna, a woman can testify. Hearsay works. In the world of Bechor, same story. A woman can testify, therefore hearsay works. Rav Yemar Achsher Eid Mipi Eid LeBechor. Rav Yemar ruled halachically that Eid Mipi Eid works by Bechor. Kari Lamaremar Yemar Shari Bukhra. A little bit of name calling going on. So they said to Yemar, Yemar, you are Shari Bukhra. You are permitting Bechors. It sounds a little pejorative, meaning it shouldn't be so makel. Hilchasa, and the Gemara concludes on this matter, aid me pi aid kasher lebechor, that aid me pi aid works for a bechor. So now, hearsay testimony, our conclusion of today is, it works for the aguna, meaning the husband went away, he didn't come back, is he alive, is he dead? Hearsay is enough testimony to allow her to remarry. And also in the terms of bechor, once you hand a bechor over to a kohen, hearsay, meaning I didn't see the mum transpire, but I heard from somebody who saw that it happened organically, it happened naturally. So hearsay works there as well to allow the bechor, to allow the kohen to eat the bechor. Okay, I kind of will stop over here. Tomorrow, I know we have a little bit more to get to the Mishnah. Tomorrow we get to the Mishnah. Great topic coming up tomorrow as well. Ein Bishol Achar Bishol tomorrow. A lot of great topics coming up here at the end of the Masechta.